Hey, hello. Thanks for joining us here on this first episode of our new Shine and Arapahoe Productions podcast. We really need a new name, something catchy. Actually, since they call us CAP, maybe we should come up with something with like a PER. We could call it per cap time. Everybody per be cap. Checking that one out. Hey, I'm Darren Brown, senior content producer here at Shine and Arapahoe Productions. I'm joined today by Adam Youngbear.
Content producer, Adam Youngbear.
Adam, man, I'm glad you're here. How long have you been with us now?
Seven, maybe almost going on 8 years.
Yeah. So this first podcast, we kind of wanted to do something that we know a little something about. And, you know, we're really proud of our show called Freibird Flats. And it was an idea that I had for a number of years. And finally, I kept saying, we really should do some kind of kids show. And man, I had said that for years before you came on board. And finally, Randy, our director, said, man, you just need to shut up and do that. And shortly after that, we hired you. And I said, hey, now we got something to work with. So what do you remember about those deaths? What was that, about 2017? Maybe 16?
16 or 15. 16, yeah. Because yeah. It was the year after I joined first.
Started. It was that it took us a long time to get that first episode rolling. But share your memories about that.
I just remember trying to come up with a lot of ideas for, you know, how to animate our main character, Raven. She's supposed to be like Dora. So just coming up with ideas how to animate her. And also, I was just starting out learning in animation. I had no clue what to do. Took a little class on it. It was just a lot of thinking and a lot of thought process on how to convey the best we could about her.
Yeah, and it's a big jump. People need to realize from just because I know you had been drawing probably mm-hmm. since you were a kid, and I know and people who know that you do some fantastic work, but it's a large jump from just drawing on paper and everything like that to animation, a 2D animation, right?
Yeah. See, I had like a little bit of an idea when I used to play at home with my camera and did a little stop motion with my little toys when I was a little kid. So I kind of got the idea of like different frame by frame or different kind of lead time and animation like that. So it was a little learning experience.
You mentioned a little kid. I know that I think for you, and I spoke with someone in your family recently that, man, I think for you, this seems to be like, at least for now, the perfect job, because we all have to do it too, but with our show Freibird Flats, it is. And you mentioned Dora. It seemed, you know, obviously you have a young child now, and my kids are much older now, but when they were young, my daughter was she was just a Dora freak, man. She loved the show. And you know, when I was probably in college, I used to watch a lot of Pee Wee's Playhouse, and so that those shows and the shows that my kids used to watch, like Bear in the Big Blue House and Sesame Street and things like that, all that kind of inspired, you know, what I pulled on to draw, you know, come up with skits for the show. But you know, you still get to, I think the secret behind being creative and stuff like this is not to have a childish piece of you, but a childlike, you know, I don't think you can be creative without it. And I see that coming out of you, man.
Yeah, I think it has to do with like your what's the word I'm looking for? Not your animation, but your imagination. Imagination. I still kind of have that little thought, you know, from a good little imagination, like what can we do? You know, what stuff can I play off of in my adult mind, but we'll go back to my kid mind to what's something cool I can see, you know?
You got to be an adult sometimes.
Yeah.
No, I think a lot of people, you know exactly what you're talking about. It's obviously we have to live in the world as adults, but I talk about how much I love my job because I get to be creative. I don't know that I would be able to, you know, survive from day to day if I didn't have some sort of creative outlet like yourself.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. You know, it's like a perfect job because I get to draw. I get to, you know, come up with a lot of ideas and stories, and also combine it with, you know, our native background, you know, our Shine Arapahoe background, And I think that's really cool. Like with my recent one was about, my recent skit I just wrote was about hygiene and health. And so it's cool to just go back and draw a lot of stuff, you know, think about all the ideas of how can I, you know, portray the kids, you know, drawing and washing their hands and stuff like that.
Yeah. Talking about that, one thing we have to say is Freiburg Flats is a kids show. And let's just give them a quick history. I believe it took us like 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years.
Get the first few episodes out.
It's rough.
And here it is. And I keep saying 19. It was 2018 when we finished 12 episodes. Now here we are, 2023. We are finally, probably the last year, I guess, we've been putting together, working on stuff, we're really close to getting that first episode, which will actually be two, because people need to know that the way we create this show is we create about six episodes. And so the first two are basically the same, but one has a Cheyenne emphasis. Mm-hmm. And then that will be show one. Then show two will basically be the same show, but with Arapaho emphasis, like words and phrases. And one thing that we need to say really quickly is that I've heard people say, oh, this show teaches Cheyenne Arapaho language. And I said, no, we could never do that with a 26 and a half minute show. What we're trying to do is get these kids interested in learning the language and let them take it from there. But talk a little bit about this has to start with education, you know, it has to start with language. And that's kind of where I recall way back in the beginning, we said, we've got to start with that.
Yeah. Arapaho and Cheyenne languages are very complicated to learn and memorize. And so we're just trying to get a little interest in kids, you know, what's this word, you know, how can they expand upon that? We kind of want the kids to go home and take their words with them and ask their parents about these words and maybe even educate their parents on the words. And that's, I think, the whole point of this, not educate, but at least inspire. That's what we want to do with these episodes. What we want to do with Freiburg Flats is inspire kids to learn a language and maybe learn a little bit about their culture.
I know that people ask us every now and then, people who aren't Cheyenne or Arapaho, or maybe not even not native at all, they will say, well, which language is easier to learn? And I say, well, neither one of them. And I certainly am not fluent at all. We're around it a lot. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it rubs off and you pick up some things here. And sometimes I can sort of tell what people are talking about, but I'm not able to converse. But your background is, you emphasize the Arapaho language. That's kind of that's where you're coming from, right?
Yeah. A little bit. My grandma was Arapaho, and then my dad's side, that's my mom's side. My mom's mom is Arapaho. And then my dad's dad was Arapaho, a little bit Cheyenne too, and my dad's mom. And then I'm going back to my mom's mom. my mom's dad was white, so a little bit of different mixture in my culture.
Hey, we're all a mixture here.
But yeah, so I think I gravitated to Arapaho because my sister was in the language program and she's learning more Arapaho language. But I grew up going to school and my mom taught a little bit of Cheyenne, so I kind of was going more, you know, relying more on Arapaho now because I have that readily available with my sister. I was able to fall back onto that.
You talked about your grandparents. Were you around them enough to pick up, or did they speak it quite a bit around you?
On my dad's side, my grandpa, he died, maybe I was in high school, but I never heard him talk Arapaho. I never
That's
spoke
too
Arapaho.
Bad. That's I hear that from a lot of people. I think people from one or two generations ago, I kind of what I gather is that they maybe their parents told them that it wasn't cool to speak it around you know, the dominant population, the dominant society. And that's a shame, because I think we lost a lot. And I think one thing I've told people before is that fortunate that our Cheyenne and Arapaho language department, at least for years, has been literally across the hall, about what, six steps across the hall. And I know those first couple seasons we were every day, hey, can you tell us how to say grandpa? Next day, can you tell me how to say grandma? You know.
Mm-hmm. And I also think towards, this is kind of towards Fribert Flats. I never had anything as an Indian kid, nothing to think about language. I just knew we were Indian. That was it. You know, there's no language. There's no nothing. I know we could speak another language, our people. So I think if I had a Fribert Flats as a kid, maybe I'd be more interested or just have a little thought of, oh, we have another language. We can speak something.
And that's something I haven't ever really thought about. I get tied up, and I think we all do in our projects, our own projects, because our producer, Hawk Hartico, was here with us, and he has his project he's working on. I've got mine, and we kind of, you got yours, and we kind of have to divvy it up, because otherwise we could all jump on one and get it done. We got so many things going on at all separate times, and I think we have our different strengths, which is great, because you know, you do stuff I couldn't do. Hawk does stuff I couldn't do. And I think I do stuff that you just, you know, you guys, I'm not going to say you couldn't do, because you surely can. But we have our different strengths. And I think that's what makes Cheyenne Rapo Productions work. But I think a lot of times I get, probably yourself too, is you get caught up in getting a project done. And not only done, but done to the best we possibly can. And because I told you guys before, I don't want anything going on the air that's not the best we could do it. Mm-hmm. And that's just how we operate here. But I think sometimes, because we don't always get a lot of feedback, you know, and it always amazes me that when we do get feedback, like you're talking, like, you know, like a parent will say something, and I've heard parents say just like what you said about, we never had anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, let me pat myself on the back. Mm-hmm. No, I think, you know, we're not, I mean, maybe the inspiration was to make some sort of difference, but then we get bogged down in the actual writing of the skits and then the recording and then all the audio and all the editing, mm-hmm. and all the animation and then the timing and then the titles and then the open credits and the end credits. And we get bogged down with that and we forget that. You know what's amazing is after we do all that, hopefully the show still has a little magic left in it. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's talk about that magic, Adam. That's something and Hawk is sitting here too, man. We've pulled in 10 people in the studio before to shoot one skit.
Yeah,
we had leaf blowers going.
Yeah, for our storm story, we had. So the story was. The four puppets, our characters are Justin, Flash, and Daisy, and Blossom. So they're playing out in the field, and then a storm rolls in. So we have a leaf blower blowing the fan in, throwing some
little hailstones.
We had a little cotton balls, and so we had that. And then we had the buffalo coming in to protect him. He wants them to hide underneath them. Hey, I'll protect you guys.
But what people don't know is we had someone running the leaf blower. We had someone throwing the little cotton balls. Then we had someone throwing the leaves.
And we had me holding the puppets underneath there, holding them up from blowing over.
Let's talk about that magic a little bit, man. I know that we write skits and then we have to get people to record the voices. But when we put those skits together, man, it's all hands on deck, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're underneath, you know, puppeteering them, making them move, make sure they're not looking dead. And so that's like. That's just a small part of the whole thing. You know, we got the puppets, we got the background, we got the lighting, and then we also have the audio. And then we also need to, you know, capture it in the video, but we have a blue background. That's nothing, you know. But when we bring it into the camera, into the computer, you know, we got to add our little magic, add our filters on and blue screen. And
you got to add sound effects.
Sound effects, yeah. Sound effects is the most important, one of the most important, just as the video.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, you got sound effects, you got what's the word? You get a little. We've added graphics when someone is like, you know, I'm trying to think of like, all I can think of like the old Batman or Robin.
Effects,
you know, those pow, boom, that type of stuff. And I think people, you can't discount that. I'm not complaining at all. I just want people to know that we pour everything we have into those little skits.
Probably more too much, a little bit too much, because sometimes we'll be running late on
a
single
true.
Skit.
That's true.
That's a problem I have.
But it's easy to get caught up in the moment and really, like we were talking about being childlike, we're running around playing with puppets. and making goofy noises and stuff, and making really, we're trying to make TV magic, and hopefully it stays there, and it will convey, and those kids will pick up on it, and not only they'll enjoy it, but I think that's the secret is that you have to get these kids where they are, and give them something to entertain them, but at the same time, once you do that, then you can throw in a little education.
Little education, I think, also a lot of one of the kids to relate to it. We want to have a little bit of our culture into it. We want to have a couple words they hear, and they're like, you know, maybe they hear prayer cap sometimes. That's a little, they don't know what that is, but it's funny. You know, the adults would catch that, or we have a lot of fry bread references, a lot of bologna or spam references, and so we want them to feel like this show fits in with them, and they can relate to it a lot.
Yeah, I think I remember one episode we mentioned there was a bologna sandwich, and I think we made a reference to Indian round steak.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first episode. I think we had those two characters who were making some fry bread, and that something blew up. The kitchen blew up, mm-hmm. and a lot of stuff like that. Let me ask you this, and I've never even asked you this, but your daughter mm-hmm. is, what's she, four?
She'll be five in December.
Now, has she watched the show, and is there any reaction from her?
I think she watched the video when she was like two, when we finished it, but she hasn't watched it ever since. But she loves watching the little stories we do, little animations we do. She likes seeing herself, because I don't know if we haven't said this yet, but she is the new Blossom in our show. She's a little Blossom Bear.
The new voice of Blossom
Bear. Yeah, the new voice of Blossom Bear. My daughter Blossom is Blossom.
And it's awesome. Awesome, Blossom. It's awesome because she is basically the age that we want the bear to be. It's a bear mm-hmm. cub.
Yeah, she's the age where we want the kids to, you know, review and, you know, see. And so she likes it. She likes coming in and doing the voice. She's been asking me a couple of weekends, Dad, I want to go do some voices. I want to do some of this. And then she refers to the bear as her. She goes, oh, remember that time that that bear, Blossom Bear, was doing this? And remember the time we were making fry bread? I was like, yeah, you want to do that again? She goes, she's all for it.
And speaking of children, let's go back to, like I said, it was 16, 17, that maybe into 18 that we put those first episodes together. And it was Hawk, basically your daughter, who was the very first voice of Raven. And she was, what, 11, 12 at the time?
Mm-hmm.
Now she's driving.
Yeah, she's driving. She sounds totally different.
Yeah, she's taller than me now. And that's not too difficult to do. I'm a little bit vertically challenged. But, and then the girl who voiced Blossom at that time,
mm-hmm.
I believe she's about ninth grade.
And then our little stories characters, was it Chloe and then Maddox?
Yeah, those Maddox, guys, and those guys are in my eighth, ninth, 10th grade. You know what's funny is obviously, you know, some of these kids we see a lot, but some of them we'll see them when they're 8 or 9, and then we run into them again when they're 3 years later. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, to us, they've totally changed. And it's just, I mean, of course, they hear that probably all the time. Unless you don't want to sound like one of those old people. Hey, last time I saw you, mm-hmm. you were this tall. But that's to us, that's kind of how it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we have new, basically, I do the voice of Justin Beaver, who is a beaver, and we've got some other adults here who do some voices. And let's talk about that. So we have to read them kind of like a kid, but then you have to manipulate the voices, right?
Yeah, we have to write the story for their kid, and then we also come in, have the adults read for it, and then we bring it into the computer and change their pitch and tone. So like a little cartoon voice, little high pitched voices. And so that's how we, you know, change the adults into kids.
Now Blossoms, we don't have to do anything with.
No, not yet.
Because she is a child. And I know that, like I said, we've got some new voices. The children's, the ones who were that age, we had to get a new crop basically. And I know that since we started, I know that I've been concerned that this one girl we have reading, I'm like, man, it's just, we only got her for another maybe a year, mm-hmm. that she's probably not going to want to do that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for her, or for, you know, a kid who's in their middle of their age, from, you know, maturing to a young teen, we need to, we're trying to write this, the ins and outs, you know, trying to use her strategically.
Yeah.
And kind of re-record, reuse.
Because you really, voices. I mean, because kids, and if you didn't realize, kids' voices change.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that in Blossom's voice when we just recorded the other day. I was like, oh, her voice, I can tell it. I don't know if you guys can tell. I can just hear a little bit from her baby voice 2 years ago or a year ago to now. I was like, oh, I need to hurry up and write some skits for
her. So we've got to hurry. We got to hurry up and get this first. We got to knock this these next episodes, this second season out. Where do you see this going? I know that I'm trying to think. We've got new characters, and let's just go through. I mean, if these people didn't know, the way the process works is we have about 6 characters now, I suppose, and the majority of the skits right now are written by me. That doesn't mean that I want to do them all by myself.
Yeah, you're the best ideas.
But I seem to draw on stuff. Well, we had that one skit about these kids were playing baseball and broke a window. Mm-hmm. Then they all ran and blamed it on a kid who wasn't even there. I did stuff like that when I was, I mean, I was a good kid. I really was. You do stuff. You break somebody's window and you blame it on someone else who wasn't there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how kids are, man. So I pull from my memory, and the way this works is that sometimes it's easy. I've written some here, and sometimes it's easier to do at home. But I just kind of think about, you know, stuff that we did when I was a kid and me and my friends, and I write the skit that way. And then you kind of throw in, sometimes you have to, then I bring in the work and I say, how can we res this up a little bit? And throw in some years.
Some A's or buh.
Yeah,
We got to throw a fry bread at least one episode.
So we do something like that. And then we have to bring in, the thing is that what we really did a terrible job with the first time is we brought people in constantly because we only had a few skits at a time. What we want to do is now is just this season is bring the people in one time and have them read like about 8-10 skits or so. Mm-hmm. But we get skits recorded and then you put them on the timeline, basically build a sequence. And then I think you pitch them up then. And then we basically, for lack of a better word, I mean, because these puppets don't have lips, but we lip sync.
Yeah, a lot of head movement and a little body movement.
Yeah, we basically act out to the soundtrack.
We kind of over exaggerate with the puppets, but you kind of have to because, like you said, they have no mouth, and so you got to get that little.
Some emotion. Do and some don't.
Yeah, and you got to get that emotion, that little feeling to them.
And there have been times we've had 8 puppets going.
Yeah,
which means we have to have 4 people.
Crammed under
a table with a puppet on each hand.
Arms extended above our heads. our arms above our heads and our heads looking down under the table at our monitor.
And then that gets recorded on 3 different cameras. Mm-hmm. So we'll have different angles. And then it falls on you to edit that together. And like I said, hopefully the magic, I mean, once you add some sound effects and the backgrounds.
Yeah, the backgrounds. The backgrounds we've done here in Concho. We used to have some in
Romanos
Park and a little forest, but we lost those because that was on our older computers and we changed the new ones. But for the most part, our backgrounds are here in Concho. So you might see. Hopefully you won't see a windmill in the background in the forest.
You mentioned we were talking about just the work. I think. I know that you've done a lot of work with the language department and for them, and because they see the value and not only for Fry-Bread Flats, but the value of animation. And, you know, that's the thing is like child care is working with us and they want some of our work, your work too. And I just find that really exciting that people are seeing the value and drawing these, you draw these kids in. And you can teach them a little something. So talk about, you know, the fact that, the things that you have done with language have gone over really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for the language, I've done little, animation characters of, I guess you can say Cheyenne or Arapaho Village, learning words, you know, first phrase. The first few of them were just one word, but now I'm learning that, you know, one word is not enough for us. We need to do a lot of repetition and a lot of explaining what, you know, trying to do the motions of what it is. Like if it's hot, we want the character to, you know, wave their hand in the face, you know, say the word hot multiple times. We want to tell the story of like the newest one we have in Fryberry Flats is for episode one of season two. Blossom is waking up. The Blossom Bear is at her house waking up. She's going to school. So a lot of repetition of, you know, the mom saying, Blossom, wake up in Arapaho and in Cheyenne.
Yeah, that's the one we have with her brushing teeth. Mm-hmm. And,
brushing teeth, eating, and then getting on the bus. And then so what I've learned is, like I said, the repetition of the words. Instead of just learning one word, you know, and then leaving it alone, you know, you need to, you know.
That's so difficult. There's no easy way to do that. And what, like I said, I think what we've kind of evolved into is not just sharing words, but at least phrases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, phrases.
Yeah. And what we found out the hard way, and well, at least I did, because I'm not, I'm neither Cheyenne nor Arapaho, is that I think the first few shows who wanted to do a word of the day thing, which mm-hmm. I remember I picked up that from Pee Wee's Playhouse. I wanted mm-hmm. to do something like that, is that we had, say, the word for grandma. Nishke in Cheyenne, right?
Yeah. And then Nawa.
Thank you, Nawa. But
in Arapaho.
Yeah, in Arapaho. And I remember it's, and then when we got into mother, it was words like, well, do you want to say your mother? Mm-hmm. Or do you want to say my mother?
Or their mother?
Or do you want to say, or do you want to yell mother? Mm-hmm. You know, because isn't the word not, I mm-hmm. apologize for getting, if I had this backwards, but the word for mother in Cheyenne and bear is
I think Naku.
It's basically, I mean, just,
it's similar.
Yeah. One of them is Nako and one of them is Nako, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, and the thing is, we had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we, you know, we caught some stuff about that because we really went into that knowing, not realizing all the intricacies of, because I remember one, I wanted to talk about the cousin,
mm-hmm.
and then I said, "Well, is it his cousins or her cousins?" Or, and I was like, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah.
I finally said, "Is there not just one generic one?" They said, "No."
And then, do we have a word for cousin?
Yeah,
maybe it's just relative, not just cousin.
Yeah,
you know, not cousin.
Is that Nataina?
Nataina.
Yeah.
That's relatives.
Yeah. See, there's so much.
And so you got Nataina or Nataina. Like I think mine, the A not means all of ours or all others.
So yeah, there's so much stuff that we, where we thank goodness we've learned from the first.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've changed a lot of things, and so I'm hoping. And like I said, help me out. Are we about 95% finished?
Right now, I just have sounds on the first episode. I seem to add some sounds. I just finished the last. Freeze frame of it, a little drawing of Justin finishing, or sorry, Flash finishing his race. And so it's ready to go as soon as I get some sound on it.
That's not why. I want a date, Adam. Tell me when.
Let's say next week.
Is it done yet? Okay. Well, I think, I people have asked here and there. And people have been asking for years. But after the first season, mm-hmm. we just wanted to take a break.
Yeah. But then we also had ideas. We're like, oh, we can do this. We can do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we had Justin and Flash. I had broke up my guitar, and they're singing a blues song about
Fry Bread Blues.
Those greasy Fry Bread Blues. Yeah. So there's that. And we're going to try to work on another. And we have two more new characters. We have a skunk, and we have a coyote, and we have... one confirmed voice, mm-hmm. but not the other one yet. So we're still working on that. We have to write skits for them,
mm-hmm.
and I think I'm excited really about this second episode. I mean, yeah, that too. But about the second season, because mm-hmm. I'm anxious to see and hear feedback about how much better it is and things like that. So man, I thanks for coming over here and walking from
next door,
walking that 10 feet over here. Cause I just think this is, I think what you do is, impressive, man. And if I haven't ever told you that, there it is. Always got to praise the folks that need it. So this was our first episode for this, Cheyenne and Arapaho Productions podcast. My thanks to Adam Youngbear for hanging out here. And thanks to Hawk Hardico for making this thing happen. I'm Darren Brown, and we will see you next time. Ha-ho!
See you later.